I am Maria Bonio, founder and managing director of Maria's Country Style Pastels, and I'm also a YBTT-supported entrepreneur. I am pleased to be sitting this morning with the Controller Intellectual Property Office, sharing some important insights on intellectual property. Mr. Asghar Ali, welcome.
Thank you, Maria. Good morning to you and to the audience. I'm very happy to give this interview to speak about intellectual property and to demystify what intellectual property is to the national community.
To start off, the issue of intellectual property is still not clear to many, especially entrepreneurs like myself, who can be affected depending on the nature of our business. What is intellectual property?
Well, there are different definitions of intellectual property, but to be clear as to the official definition, the World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva says that the term intellectual property refers to the expressed creations of the human mind. Expressed meaning the creation is presented in a tangible format. So, for instance, if you have an idea and it's in your head and it remains there and somebody comes up with that idea independently of you, then you have not been able to protect intellectual property because you have not expressed it in a tangible form, such as writing it down, putting it on your computer. So the expression of your idea is critical for you to be able to benefit and to exploit your intellectual property. Intellectual property is what I would call the new wave, the new frontier. Before, for one to be able to make money, one had to depend sort of on generational wealth, land, etc. And Alvin Toffler in Power Shift, for instance, spoke about the whole aspect of the feudal system and land and hereditament, and this new area of being able to benefit from one's intellect, from one's creativity. And that created a power shift, as he says in his book, towards persons being able to use their innate ability, the ability to think and to express themselves in this format and to be able to exploit that and to sort of shape and the new wealth. And this essentially is what intellectual property is about in a nutshell.
How exciting. Could you explain to us the specific areas covered in the IPO laws in Trinidad and Tobago?
I certainly may explain this. And there are different forms and types of intellectual property. There's copyright and related rights under the Copyright Act. And the categories of works that will protect includes artistic and literary works, computer programs, and databases. Think of copyright and related rights as an old man. That's a nice acronym. The old meaning original literary, dramatic, and artistic works. And the neighboring rights associated with copyright include music, the rights of a producer, the rights of broadcasters, and the rights of performers. And there's also moral rights, the right to be associated with the works and to prevent distortion of the work. Copyright has a shelf life, for instance, of the life of an individual creator plus 50 years after the death. So, for instance, an author, the intellectual property in copyright will last for 50 years after the author's death. But the moral rights means that you have to be credited as the creator long after the period has finished. So one can think of Leonardo da Vinci, his painting of the Mona Lisa. Even up to this day, because he's been dead many, many years, you have to credit him as the original owner of that work, and that's what moral rights are. So there's also patents. I like another acronym for patents as NI. Patents are protect novel inventions that must be industrially applicable, and they must have an inventive step. And patents refer to products or processes. That's critical to know. It prevents others from making, using, selling, or importing that particular invention. So it's a very powerful right in its own need. And the duration for a patent is 20 years. The scope is national in nature, so that if one wanted to protect their patent in several jurisdictions, they would have to apply to have it protected in those jurisdictions. Thankfully, through the Geneva-based World Intellectual Property Organization, you have the Patent Cooperation Treaty, which allows you, as a multi-filing treaty, allows you to make an application and protect it in several jurisdictions. Then there are trademarks, brands. What's in a name? We usually give a talk on that to a lot of our stakeholders. Your brand, basically, is your the name of your business or your logo or your slogan. And the definition, according to our new legislation, Act No. 8 of 2015, the new Trademarks Act, is that it is a sign capable of being represented graphically. This is exciting because it would allow not just for the areas of protection I've mentioned before, but it would allow for protection for non-traditional marks. Right. Sound. Example, the MGM Lion Roar is protected in the U.S. You'll be able to protect the MGM Lion Roar in Trinidad and Tobago soon when these regulations are finalized this year. Also, touch. Louis Vuitton, so their touch is protected in trademark. And even smell. So these are different areas that would give a business owner, young business owner, an established business, a competitive edge using the trademark system. Besides having your slogans such as "Have it your way," Burger King, "I'm loving it," McDonald's, and many other slogans that they've used businesses to attract consumers. So trademarks, it's renewable every 10 years. It gives you a 10-year, right? And it's renewable every 10 years as long as the business continues running. And individuals own trademarks as well. So when that individual dies, the trademark will pass to their next of kin under probate or under letters of administration. And like patents, it is jurisdictional. You have to register it in each country. There is an international treaty that the cabinet is looking at called the Madrid Protocol. And there are 103 members of that protocol right now, if I recall. Trinidad and Tobago is not a member, but a lot of our trading partners are members. So if Trinidad and Tobago eventually joins the Madrid Protocol, it will allow for an individual business to make one application to the Geneva-based International Bureau in WIPO and be able to select those countries that they want their trademark to operate in, to file in. So that's something that's in the works, so to speak. There's also industrial designs. Industrial designs protects the ornamental aspects of an article. One can look at the chubby bottle, for instance, and it has a very unique shape that children found very attractive, and others have tried to replicate the chubby bottle, but of course it is protected as an industrial design, as well as the shape. I forgot to mention the shape is protected as a trademark. So when you look at certain trade dress, which to digress back into trademarks, you find a lot of businesses actually protect the look of their enterprise's trade dress. If you look at, for instance, Texas de Brazil, you know, it has a special sort of look when you go in there, or Chipotle in the U.S. So IP rights underpin this. I remember Nigel Kahn at one point, the bookseller, looking at how he could make his space different. And so he created a really unique design that you would find throughout the country. So trademarks are very powerful tools and industrial design, which protects the shape. You never look at your perfume bottle the same again, because different perfume bottles have different shapes, yes. Toothbrushes. Yes. And this is where IP as a bundle of different rights intersects, because you could have trademark protection, you could have design protection, different other forms of protection. So the knowledge of this for young people in business, established businesses, the knowledge of using IP to really make money, to make yourself more competitive, to be different from others, is really critical in today's D and H. Geographical indications. Geographical indications is a very hot topic. It basically is where you have a certain attribute of soil that is unique to a particular area. It could also mean handicraft, as well. But in Trinidad and Tobago, we focus on the agricultural, as well as many places worldwide. So, for instance, champagne can only be called champagne, that sparkling wine, if it comes from the northeast area of France. If it comes outside of that protected geographical zone, which is protected under IP laws, Article 23 of the TRIPS Agreement, it must be called sparkling wine. Putting it on the local sphere or in the local industry, you've seen the renaissance that is our cocoa. The IP office has worked with numerous cocoa producers and other agriculturalists in agri-innovation. And last year, we had the first geographical indication protection from Montserrat Hills Cocoa Trinidad. We are working as well with the Maruga Hill Rice Cooperative toward Hill Rice. Also, we are working with the Tiberland Pineapple Farmers that hopefully this year they will have a geographical indication for Tiberland Pineapple. And IP mustn't, say, as I try to demystify IP, it mustn't be seen, you know, as being up in the sky. It's really on the ground. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about agriculture, you would see that there are many stories and case studies, if you look at where persons having obtained geographical indication rights, they've been able to reap a lot more money on the export market for their products. It also promotes rural development. So one day you could see where persons can have GI-centered tourism, for instance, where persons come and they experience how, for instance, the cocoa is made, restaurant-themed cocoa tourism, go into the fields and see how the GI is harvested and that sort of thing. So it's a wonderful area. And the final right that I will speak about, trade secrets, really, it's a secret. It's like the KFC. Do you know what those 11 herbs and secrets are? Or closer to home, Angostura bitters. That recipe is kept under wraps. So instead of disclosing what you do, which what you would have to do in a patent, you have to disclose your invention to the public for that 20-year period. In trade secrets, you keep it under wraps, and then you control it in the form of contracts. So that is popular for recipes, where people say, we have this special pepper sauce or so, or other recipe. Oh, so this, in a nutshell, is IP for you, demystified.
Very interesting, enlightening, and a wide range you have just given to us. Now that we have reached there, what businesses require IPO intervention in terms of trademarks, patents, industrial designs, and copyright? And can you explain the procedure involved for entrepreneurs to gain access to these services?
Certainly can. All types of businesses, startups, micro-enterprises, small and medium-sized enterprises, large-scale enterprises really need to know about intellectual property. Your mama and pop shop, what makes you different? It's your brand. It's your slogan. It's your look. It's your feel. Your passion to promote your brand. It's your professionalism, which is lacking in this country sometimes. But when you put that together and you use the IP system, you could see how you can leapfrog from the rest. It's your consistency in that product. It's your packaging. So if you come up with packaging that is copied from somebody else on the internet, you may face a pre-action protocol letter because they didn't check with the IP office to see if that name is cleared and available. If you come up with something that you think is great, a lot of times people come in and they say, well, I want the best this brand. I'll give you an example, the best doubles. I personally think the best doubles is on the Naparima Mayaro Road, 3 minutes in by the pharmacy. Another person might think it's in Curap. But how could you get protection for something like the best doubles? It's not distinctive. So IP teaches you that your brand should be distinctive. It should not be descriptive of the kind, feature, function, type, origin of your goods and services. If you come up with a new idea, where do you go? You come to us because we do novelty searches worldwide. And we will tell you if that idea has been done to death or not. In fact, the Intellectual Property Library of Trinidad and Tobago is very dear to me because I felt that we need to have sectoral libraries in Trinidad and Tobago. So we formed this on December 1st, 2017. And what it allows is it allows businesses, entrepreneurs, to have access to books on innovation and intellectual property. It's a full library supported by WIPO, as well as there's a technical library. The technical library is very exciting because it allows you, and we teach you, to look at the patent literature. 157,000 different databases and different materials exist. And we'll teach you how to patent Silphomine so that you could see what's there. And so sometimes you don't have to recreate the wheel. You could use that knowledge and that power of innovation to really help you in your business going forward.
What are some of the mechanisms used by your office to promote the services offered by the Intellectual Property Office?
The IP Office, let me repeat, is a registry, first and foremost. We register all those rights I told you about, with the exception of copyright, which is automatic on creation. There's no registration system. And trade secrets, which you protect through trademark. But we register patents and trademarks, geographical indications, new plant varieties, and integrated circuits, which are some other areas as well. But this is not a traditional IP office. We are mandated, and all staff is mandated to robustly go out there and spread the gospel that is intellectual property. It is so needed now in terms of economic diversification thrust, whether in agritourism, as I spoke about, whether in trying to change the mindset of universities from publishing and perishing to patenting and flourishing. In other words, using inventions that they may have and putting that to market, having a proper IP policy and exploiting that so that everybody is happy. Professor Cade did it. In the 1950s, University of Florida, Gainesville, Professor Cade came up with a formula. And in those days, you lose the salts in your skin, the electrolytes, you lose it, you're sup. So this is the Florida Gators football team. You know, he came up with this formula, and what he did, he went by his wife, and she gave him lemonade, and he mixed it, and it became Gatorade. Gatorade was patented and made billions for the University of Florida. Think of what we could do in our universities if we had the next best idea patented. Moving away that mindset from just publishing, as I've said. So what is the IP office doing? Presentations to primary, secondary schools. In fact, we have a proposal that we hope to have intellectual property. We have an agreement with the Korean office for Pororo, which is a cartoon series, sort of backyardigan themed, to introduce this into the primary schools because it's got to start from infancy. My four-year-old, I've tested it, I'm very interested in creativity. He was four at the time, right? So getting this into the preschools to get children to think, hey, that we could be creative. Because how we're brought up right now in the school system, you have to be a doctor or a lawyer or engineer. But what about the next artist? What about the next inventor? So this is very important. So we continue to have on-demand presentations to primary, secondary schools. We do guest lectures at the UTT, at UE. Kariri, we have an IP clinic. And this is for their incubator. So we work with all incubators, whether you start UTT, NETCO. We did a session recently, Kariri's incubator, to teach them about intellectual property and how you could use that together with your business, because it's a perfect marriage between the two. It gives you that competitive advantage. In fact, we also do sessions with TTMA. In fact, officers of the IPO were highly trained as well. They teach IP modules in substantive courses at UE and UTT. And the clinics at Kariri, we also do an export TT clinic. The export TT clinic in the food and beverage sector is where we found diamonds in the rough, such as Mr. Marc Fourgenet with his Hill Rice. And that started the conversation towards where we are now, where hopefully they will be the country's second geographical indication. So this is critical. If the IP office does not stretch its tentacles and bring everybody within its reach, then we are really wasting time. Walk-in consultations, and I mentioned the Intellectual Property Library of Trinidad and Tobago, which, you know, I really hope that businesses will use more and come in here. You can even get coffee if you buy coffee downstairs. Have your coffee here and work all day. It's a nice environment in this library while you try to, you know, uplift your business strategies. Of course, there's broadcast of IP information resources on our website and on brochures available at the IPO. There are studies that we have that you could get on news and events through the Document Center. really great study. So if you're in the creative industry, we commissioned a study about 5 years back with WIPO called a look at the creative industries and the copyright contribution to gross domestic product. And that was done by Tobagonian economist, who is WIPO commissioned Dr. Vanas James, based on a methodology that was done in about 34 other countries. And it found that the copyright-based industries' contribution to GDP was around 5%, which actually put us right there with some really burgeoning economies. Now, these studies could help to form part of policy. So we just don't do a study because we want to do a study. We do it with the aim of policy formulation to help in terms of the diversification thrust. Remember our slogan, Intellectual Property Office, is all about protecting creations and inspiring innovation. And that is exactly what we try to do in this manifestation of our policies, programs, and projects. There's even a half-day basic course in IP at the IPO, and this is something that is relatively new. So, you know, we would definitely look forward to when some of your clientele could visit us and have this. And we also encourage persons, whether through the Police Academy, the Customs Academy, and others, to do the online distance courses offered by WIPO for free, such as the DL101. And there's also a public service investment program I'm very proud of called the Bill and Respect for IP. And we acquired a minibus for this, and we have gone throughout the length and breadth of Trinidad. We have also been to Tobago in teaching IP, whether to schools, the community centers, etc. We have been in Moruga this year already. We've been in Lopino. We've been in Tobago. And we go to Rancho Quemado Estate in Erin on Thursday, where we're going to speak to school children and farmers and others in the community. So that's basically how we program or we do our outreach at the moment.
I am sure that information is very important to all entrepreneurs, especially the websites, the walk-in, the library, the seminars through the incubation and the clinics. You know, it will really help us as entrepreneurs get access to IP and our rights and our opportunities for competitive advantage. Mr. Regan Ascarelli, it was indeed a pleasure sitting with you today, and on behalf of the entire team of Youth Business Trinidad and Tobago, sincere thanks for sharing with us.
It is a pleasure to have been on, and I really hope that through this short discussion that we can inspire the young people of this country or the future, young business entrepreneurs, to get out there, get creating, get protecting, innovate towards this diversification thrust. Don't run away from Trinidad and Tobago. It's a beautiful country. We've got to invest in it and transform it together. Thank you.
Youth Business Trinidad and Tobago is a not-for-profit organization focused on empowering young entrepreneurs to build profitable and sustainable businesses. Visit ybtt.org for more information.